When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now in the Corner Booth Podcast, a sports podcast from Billy Up Sports and the Billy Up Podcast Network. Here's your host, Jared Kling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Corner Booth Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Kling. It is actually a special episode. One, Mark Riley's back.
Woo-woo.
Two, it's our draft special, number two. We're doing three. And it's our 100th episode. We are 100 episodes. Kevin and me got this argument because we're with the Sunday specials. I'm like, well, they don't really count because it's just us bullshitting with a guest for an hour and a half. So it's our official 100th Corner Booth episode. Me and Mark started this, Mark, what, a year and a half ago now?
Yeah.
And then Kev came in relief about last March ish so April. So Kev, is about your 1 year anniversary too.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so you've been stuck.
What a time to be alive.
Oh yeah, no. All right, so we got two quick headlines, three if you really want to split hairs. But first off, we got new uniforms, the NFC South, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. I have a weird opinion about the Falcons one. I kind of like it. It's you know, if you guys haven't seen it yet, they're on Belly Up's Instagram, they're on NFL's Instagram, they're everywhere. The overlying meme, guys, is it's the longest yard uniforms, which I think is hysterical. But at the same time, I also saw the FUBU jerseys from 2003. I like both. I like it. I mean, also, it's just the Falcons. The Falcons get made fun of regardless. So what do you guys think about the uniforms for Atlanta, at least?
I also saw Arena Football League is cool. Another comparison I saw. I don't hate them as much as some people. I love the throwback ones with the black logo on the helmet. They're different. I think the white one looks really nice. I don't love the ATL in the front. I get why they did it, but I don't love it. The numbers look a little weird, and I don't love gradients on uniforms either. I think it's interesting, but I don't love it on the Falcons. I don't think it looks as bad as if the red and the black's easy to do that with. If like the Vikings tried that, it would look disgusting.
It would look awful.
I just don't understand. Like, the Bucs nailed it. Like, they went back. Like, the old uniforms are coming back. People wanted them to go with the creamsicle ones. I didn't really need all that, but they went and did like their clean and their the throwbacks. The Bucs went modern. Modern era is out for jerseys. I don't know why they keep like trying to do that. The one, the red one, blends into black. Like, what are we
That's
freaking?
What a gradient is, Mark.
Yeah, well, you know what? For people that don't understand your big words, Kevin, it blends into black. And I don't know. I mean, the white one's pretty nice, I guess. But and then thank God they kept the throwback. But I don't know, man. I think they kind of remind me like a NASCAR. The numbers are so big. I'm not a fan of them, even though
It looks awkward. It almost looks like a Texas high school football jersey almost.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're trying way too hard to be flashy.
They'll probably look fine though when they're on the field. I don't know. I do like the helmets though.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, yeah, I agree with the Bucks take. Like, they're just going back to the basics, like the Mike Allslot days. Work done.
Yeah. Atlanta freaking with the power moves of saying like they're releasing new jerseys right after the Bucks have been talking about forever. And then they released these. I was like, damn, you can't just come out and do that and then not have the better.
I don't even know, like, how they – I don't get if they could have done a better jersey. Yeah. I think the ones they just went from were better. But I think with black and red, it's so hard to, A, do something different and make it look good, or, B, just do something different at all. I don't think they were perfect, but I think they should have gone a more traditional style.
I think they should have gone the Buffalo way and just gone back to the 90s, 80s throwbacks like they did with the all black. And then maybe as an alternate, bring back the Vic era black jerseys.
Well, they do have that. They have the black Vic era with like the just black and white Falcon.
No, but no, they should have done that with the red. 2004 black jerseys, not the 90s one.
But yeah, no, they should.
If they wanted to do something weird, I think they could have done the gradient as an alternate to see how it works for a couple games, and then once everyone blasts that, go, okay, we're not going to use those anymore.
Yeah.
Just like those Eagles Carolina blue and yellow jerseys, which I have one still.
Yeah.
It was a gift. Don't worry.
Also, I don't know if they can use the throwback that everyone loves. I don't know if they can use that this season because I think the new helmet rule takes effect in 2021.
Yeah, the freaking new helmet rule. I hate that because the Eagles can't rock the Kelly Green.
Yeah, apparently the Kelly Greens are coming back in 2021. Like, Lurie's already said, like, I am, like, waiting for my call from Nike to get those things rolling.
That's when they can do it by NFL rules, because the NFL instituted that dumb rule that you can't change helmet. Like, you can't have different helmets.
Which is weird because you can just have, like, honestly, you know how long it takes to fit a player for helmets? It takes 30 seconds. Especially with the new, it's literally, you put the helmet on, you choose a face mask, it's screwed in, air fitted, it's off. You do it for three different helmets if you got three different variations. That's it. It takes 20 minutes max per player. Honestly, that will make an equipment guy's day, basically.
Also, they're saying, like, oh, it's for player safety. A helmet doesn't do anything for concussions.
Concussions is basically your brain moving around your skull. Like,
yeah, so if you get a whiplashing motion, you could have the most advanced helmet ever made. With technology we haven't even seen yet, it's still not going to do much.
The only thing that helps is it might help a little bit when you're hitting the ground concussions, but if you're taking a shot, it's not going to matter. For whiplash, the only thing that really helps you is a cowboy collar with like Van Der Esch, but that's basically it.
Even still, like, the ground isn't going to help much, because when you hit the ground, your momentum's going one way and then it suddenly stopped. Your brain sitting in your skull is still going to keep moving in that direction. The great helmet's not going to stop that. It will just disperse the energy kind of across the helmet, so you're not getting hit as hard in one
spot. So it may prevent like a severe concussion, but you may just get like a stinger instead. It's
yeah. It also prevents skull fractures. True. That's what a helmet's main job is, really.
Yeah.
And that's your information about helmets.
Kev, you got something about your boy Nick Saban. What do you got for me?
Nick Saban has finally entered the late 20th century. He got an email because of the Rona. He said Miss Terry was answering all his emails, but after this, she got bombarded with them, so she fired him from that, and he had to get his own email. Which I think is a sign of the apocalypse.
When Nick Saban's using technology.
It's terrifying. We're all going to die.
Saban and Belichick are, like, the creepily most similar people in the world, and it's insane. Like, Belichick would be the same way. Like, oh, yeah, I just got an email. Bullshit. Like, it's so crazy how they both, like, are so un-technical. I'm not even going to say the word, but you know what I mean? They're so bad with the technology, unadvanced. It's just, those two kill me.
Hey, Mark, you want another big word?
Technologically advanced.
Technologically sound.
They're lunts. They shun modern technology, pretty much.
Yeah, because they're just alphas.
It makes sense. They're similar. They're friends, so, you know, you hang out with people who are similar to you. But also, Bill Belichick gave Nick Saban one of his first coaching positions, like, higher up, because he was a defensive coordinator for the Browns in 95 with Belichick.
Yeah, I got to watch that Bill.
Yeah, where is that available on?
HBO.
Okay. That's why I can't find it, because I dropped my subscription.
Yeah. Also, apparently, a little fun fact, apparently Alabama uses very similar defensive schemes to the 95 Browns.
Makes sense. All right. So, the moment y'all been waiting for. So, your boy went in and did top – I already did a mock draft. Kev did one, too. I got Kev ridiculed mine because he said the Eagles trade up to 9 to go get Judy was not possible. I said with the amount of picks we kept after the Diggs trade, it's very possible. But there's also three guys I wouldn't mind us taking at, you know, 21. Anyway, I did top five straight position except tight end because nobody cares. And interior offensive lineman, I just threw into offensive lineman because there's four good tackles, one good guard. And Sheriff's maybe moving around, or Werfs, whatever the hell his name is. Same college, different classes. So first off, quarterback, Kevin knows where I'm going with this one. I base these off of three things. Mark knows how I go with drafts. It's potential, starting ability, and like length of career. So if you're going to be a great, like an RG3, basically would fail my thing. Oh yeah, he's great for the first year, but then he just sucks for us his career. I don't look for the initial starter. I look for guys who are going to carry on. So I had Drew Lock ranked at number two last year. Mark remembers. He's a starter now. So I don't look like a complete moron anymore, but I still didn't
Not pick. Yet, until he sucks.
I also did pick Will Greer.
Johnny Manziel was a starter by the end of his rookie year.
Yeah, but it's the Browns. That's just a whole new animal. All right, so first off, we're going to go in reverse order. So number five, I have a tie between Easton and Ertz. I think Hurts. They're both in the same boat where they need development and they need to be in systems where they can sit behind for a year. Easton needs to be more ability to move in the pocket. He can't just sit back and fire the ball downfield. And Hurts needs to work on his deep ball ability and his ability to read coverages. He can't just run around like he did at Oklahoma, and he doesn't have CeeDee Lamb to throw to. So that's why I have them both. They're both at that weird fringe where they could be great if they go to the right system. What do you guys think?
I love Easton. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because he got, like, screwed over in Georgia because he got hurt, or it's because he's, like, the perfect size, got the cannon. I liked him in Washington. Didn't do as well as I thought he was going to, but I think he's a guy that's going to sit behind some – like, he's going to go to a good team and sit behind somebody and end up being starting quarterback someday.
I love Hurts. I think he's shown an ability to develop as a passer in that 1 year at Oklahoma. I think – I don't know if the deep ball is a necessity for him at this point in his career. You've seen plenty of quarterbacks who they can't necessarily throw a very good deep ball. I think reading defense is the big key for him, though. He has to go to a good – mentor, go behind a good mentor at quarterback and a good quarterback's coach, whether it be your head coach, your offense coordinator, or just your quarterback's coach. I think that will help make him a Pro Bowler.
True. The only reason I only asked right away is because I did two, but I'm going to read the rest of the five down and then we'll react. So at number four, I have Burrow. I'm really scared for this kid's career. If he goes to Cincinnati, there's like a 10% chance he actually succeeds. Because that offensive line is atrocious and that organization is terrible. Three, I have Tua. Tua will be a good pro, but the injuries and lack of arm strength scare me. Also, it's a small body, but then again, then we have my two potential guys. I have Jordan Love at two, only because if he gets a year to develop, the kid is going to be disgusting. His tape from last year was great. Everyone wants to go, oh, but his tape yesterday was terrible. Do you know who his head coach was? His head coach has been fired by two D1 programs. That's not great. And he had to coach him at Utah State with no supporting cast this year. I love Jordan Love. I think he's going to be a great quarterback next year. So that's why I put him ahead of two. It's the same with the Drew Lock effect. I say he needed some time to sit behind somebody to learn how to not be an idiot. Number one, I have Herbert. I think he is in the same boat as Burrow, where he's going to start right away. But he's not going number one, and that's what's going to save his career. He's going to go to either Miami. That's if for some crazy reason somebody trades up to get Tua earlier than five. LA. Or it's some crazy, you know, he drops farther than that, maybe Indianapolis. But the thing is, oh, no, they traded back, so never mind. So it's going to be either San Diego or Los Angeles or Miami he's going to. Two great situations, good weapons. Going to be great for his career. He'll be able to develop as a starter faster than, say, a quarterback who has to go to Cincinnati, who has, you know, Ross Boyd and AJ Green if he stays healthy. But the problem is nobody's blocking for him. At least LA's offensive line is good and Miami's is okay, where Cincinnati's just atrocious. What do you guys think?
I agree with not having Joe Burrow as the number one prospect. I think he's going to do fine in Cincinnati because he has those receivers, but he also has Joe Mixon, who can make the defense stay true to the run and not just drop guys back and let their front seven try to get to the quarterback. And I think Eifert's still a serviceable tight end if he's on the field.
I think he's gone now, actually.
Yeah, Eifert.
He just went to Jacksonville.
Oh, shit, I forgot that. Okay, so he doesn't have Eifert, but
it was very low key, so you're fine.
Yeah, because he's been injured all the time.
Yeah.
I think your assessment of Tua is unfair. I think he's going to be a better quarterback than Jordan Love. And Herbert, honestly, I'm not sold on Herbert. I think Herbert's athletic enough to get it done, but his passing, he's less athletic than Jalen, but a slightly better passer. I think they're comparable players, though.
I like the, but the one thing I will give Herbert over Jalen is Herbert's got a an almost Eason-like cannon, but not like.
See,
Eason can put the ball through the side of a barn, whereas Herbert has got a great arm, but not an amazing arm.
I'm not going to trust your assessment of a deep ball because you said Tua needs to work on that. Tua has a fine deep ball.
He also had four first-round pick-level wide receivers, Kevin.
Okay, if he can't get the ball to them, it doesn't matter. Tua threw the ball fine deep downfield. He just didn't have to.
I'm not saying his arm strength is good, but I'm just saying with his the way he's going to have to play from the pocket, I don't want him rolling out. He's getting caught by college defenders from behind, breaking his hip, basically.
Oh, you mean when he was on a bum ankle?
True.
If that ankle was 100%, he was not getting sacked there, and he was not breaking his hip, and Alabama was playing for the national championship because they were
playing. Oh, here we go.
I knew Tua was going to set him off.
Tua dropped the first touchdown of the game. That's why you guys lost. He just dropped it. He just dropped the ball.
Yes, but also on a better ankle, he would have played better in that game. And then also, we would have made the college football playoffs because we wouldn't have lost to Auburn.
Either way.
All right. We're moving on to running backs here.
Wait,
so
Mark.
Your defense gave up 48 points or whatever it was.
I meant about Jared Zuck.
Oh, yeah, no, Mark. What's your opinion? I'm sorry. I completely – Kevin went on his rant about Tua for 5 minutes. What's your opinion on my
Dude, I don't know, like, what Joe Burrow did last year at LSU, a team that – has always had studs, but they never could win anything. The confidence that dude showed, I just feel like he can go to Cincinnati and just, like, people will, like, follow him because he's just got that, like, he's got that edge that everyone wants to kind of be around. Tua, man, him getting that injury and all this happening might be the best thing that ever happened to him because now there's, like, doubt. Like, he went from being, like, number one, no doubt, to being, like, wow, is he even going to make it in the NFL anymore, which I think he's going to be all right. Justin Herbert, he's such a hit or miss dude. If he just, like, had a personality, I think I would like him. All I hear is that he can't really, like, he's not really a leader. He doesn't bring that to the locker room. L.A., the Chargers would be his best bet because he's got a bunch of weapons there. And they have, like, a decent team around him. And then Jordan Love, man. Classic guy, like, close towards the draft, his stock just rises just because people watch him, like, do crazy shit on film. I think he's actually going to be pretty good, but that's just that's the easiest thing to say because he's a stud. He just threw 17 interceptions and everyone's freaking out about it.
I'd rather a guy take risks than play conservative and not win games. So,
a guy play conservative and not throw the game away thinking he can bomb it deep.
Well, the problem is he's literally, like, he has such a Patrick Mahomes-esque, like, when you watch his tape, and I hate to make that comparison because Mahomes is obviously a freak, but he's going to fall into that type of pick into the draft, so.
Yeah. I think. Running backs. My lowest pick, and this guy's a possible bust for me if he wasn't going in, like, the third round, is Edwards-Helaire. I get he's a bowling ball. He's short, stocky, catch the ball well in the backfield, a lot of power. I look at his tape and I'm just like, he's just your prototypical Corey Clement type. Like, he's going to be a good number two back, but I would not have him in my feature back. Cam Akers, I watched him gouge my Hurricanes for 4 years in a row. He's explosive. He can catch the ball at the back really well and runs downhill very well, surprisingly for a guy's size. I have Swift at 3. And the only reason is because the two guys ahead of him I watched and was amazed by. Swift is he'll fit in well. He's going to be a good downhill power back with good top end speed. 4.47 is nothing to shake a stick at. It's just he has nothing that blows me away on tape. Whereas the two guys ahead of him, I'm like, wow. I watched the next guy on the list, J.K. Dobbins, basically dominate the game against Clemson for the first half, and it was incredible to me. I watched this kid one cut out of a spread against Clemson's defense for 60 yards twice. Out of a spread formation. It wasn't even like he was running downhill. And the kid can catch the ball in the backfield so well. I love everything about J.K. Dobbins' game. I think if he fits perfectly in the NFL now. He's catching the ball in the backfield. He kind of reminds me. He's kind of got that, like, the Miles Sanders, Saquon build a little bit where he can run downhill as a feature back, but he can also play in the spread and be that third down Sproles kind of type where you just catch the ball and run. Last, I got Jonathan Taylor. I did not know what to expect with Taylor. He's always been the most dominant back in the Big Ten for the last 4 years. But what stood out to me is not – is this one, his 40 time, which I was like, wow, I didn't realize he was that fast. And two, his ability to just take abuse and run. I'm worried about the mileage on his tires. Me and Kev talked about this already for how many carries he had. But at least for the next 4 or 5 years, we could see Jonathan Taylor, who I have going 32 to the Chiefs, will be a just a perfect fit. So Taylor, I think, is going to have the best career out of these guys. I think Swift is going to be a good middle-of-the-pack kind of running back. He's going to be a solid starter. Dobbins, I think, is going to be a great number two, one-and-a-half kind of back. Edwards-Helaire and Akers, I think, are going to be good, like, number, like, feature backs, like, getting in the – getting – switching in, rotating in. But what do you guys think?
I love Jonathan Taylor, too. The mileage does suck because that's what Wisconsin does. I think he'll be all right. I think the Chiefs are actually the worst fit for him because he doesn't really catch the ball. And that's kind of what they're going to need to do with
Mahomes. Well, they
stuff. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like Swift or Dobbins and the Chiefs would be a better fit. But I think Jonathan Taylor, all these running backs, this class is nuts. Like, Cam Akers is a freaking house. And just because he played at Florida State when they sucked, he's like not looked at as that great. I mean, he's 5'11", which is like one of the bigger backs in this. I think Swift's going to be like, they're all like, none of these guys are going to go early enough where they're going to go to a shitty team unless they fall.
Swift will probably go, I have Swift going in the teens. So
in the first round, I think there might not even be a running back in the first round.
Well, also I know you guys are both the on the running back hate train where I love running backs. So
I think this is the most loaded class, which is why.
Oh, I know. But early. I'm saying there's going to be, I've seen multiple mock drafts, even both of mine. I have Swift going late teens only because a team, I can't remember who I had him going to, Kev, but I just, with Swift, he's got such, Swift is going to be the workhorse out of this draft where like, Taylor is going to probably have the biggest, like, the highest ceiling. Swift, you're going to get a day one starter running back. Like, almost like, because I think Josh Jacobs, I think everyone, like, over-touted it. I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a solid career, but I'd rather have Sanders. That's not even Eagles fan bias, but just watching what he did when he got more touches, dude was lighting teams up. Basically, as Wentz's only weapon towards the end of the season besides Ertz. So that's the same way I look at it, whereas Jacobs was good for the Raiders, but you saw what his ceiling is. He's not explosive. He's good at catching the ball, and he's good with power. Stop doing that. Having pets sucks. But the way I look at Sanders was, Sanders started as a feature back, but as he worked himself into the lineup more, as Jordan Howard, forgot how to be tough, basically, he got all the touches and showed why he was a 4.5-star recruit to Penn State, why he was such a nasty running back. So I think that's the same difference here with Taylor and Akers and Dobbins versus Swift. Swift is going to be a starter from day one, but he won't have the biggest boom. He'll just be a steady production. Kev?
I think Edwards-Helaire is going to be if he's drafted by a team that's doing a more running back committee approach, I think he's going to be a great featured back, a guy who's in there a couple downs every series.
It's like a New England kind of thing, basically.
Yeah, I don't think New England would be quite – I think Edwards-Helaire can be the kind of guy – it's a running back by committee with one guy you give the ball more. I can see him being that kind of role. Like
the Colts.
The ball.
Colts. Now with Phillip Rivers, a little check down guy.
Yeah, I think and I think Jonathan Taylor, I think the carries thing has been – the mileage has just been way overhyped. I think it's not a concern at all.
I mean, he's a beast. It's crazy how, like, he was so good in college.
And you know what's crazy? His tape – it's also because he's running in a power eye system. Sometimes power eye can hide how fast a running back is getting downhill. And then you see his 40 time, like, oh, I didn't realize you. I thought maybe low 4.5. I thought he was going to be like, you know, he's going to run a good time for a running back. And this is, oh, that. I think I was on Xbox with Kevin watching the combine on my phone. He ran that time, like, what? Like, my eyeball popped. I'm like, he ran what? So. I love Jonathan Taylor's tape, and I love – well, we all saw it. He's the best running back in college football last, like, 2 years, so.
He also doesn't have an injury history. Not like he's carrying the ball a lot, and then by the end of the season, he's missing the last couple games.
That was a knock on Melvin Gordon. Still got taken in the top 15, so.
But I agree with Mark. I think it's going to be a loaded running back class. I think it's going to be one of the best we've had the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because even if you keep going down the list, like, even they've been hyping up the Zach Moss guy out of Utah, saying if he didn't have injury issues, he'd be, like, the top back in this class.
Even my boy DJ Dallas out of Miami is going to be good, like, catching the ball out of the backfield guy. He was our offense, basically, after Jaren Williams just decided to stop playing quarterback.
Yeah. I remember you loved your Miami guys out with Homer last year.
Homer played okay for Seattle. I'm not going to front. I mean, he wasn't as good as I thought he was going to be, but also his 40 time last year killed his combine prospect.
Yeah.
We're going to receivers. This is the most touted. This is the position me and Kevin have been talking about for months. I got two sleepers. Kev's got a bust. I got two busts here. So we're going to our top fives. Number five, this is one of my sleepers. I told you guys about this last week. Denzel Mims out of Baylor. Now, I compared this guy to Josh Gordon about the drugs, and there are multiple reasons.
Because he went to Baylor?
That's one. His size, 6'2", about 230, 220, whatever. No, 215, sorry. Route running on deep balls is incredible. Tracks the ball well. His one-on-ones in the Senior Bowl is like artistry. It's beautiful to watch. I mean, he's smoking these. Some of these are SEC cornerbacks. He's just kicking their ass. We're off the line of scrimmage. And his tape is just as good. He tracks the ball well. His 40 time helped out his stock a lot. I think he's better than Jefferson. I think he's better than what's the other guy? Pittman out of USC, who I'm a little worried about his after-the-catch ability. I think Mims is going to be that player that kind of, and I definitely think he's better than Higgins. Where he's that bigger, more physical, like the raw kind of receiver. I have him. He's going to be the steal of the draft, at least this year, for receivers when it looks like. I have another one later, but I just love his tape. And number four is Jalen Reagor. I watched this kid. I just watched this kid's tape before, and I literally said to Kevin, like, Kev, I just watched him reverse field in the entire defense. Yes, it's the Big 12, but still, those are still D1 athletes. The kid is being compared – like, the guy at Draft Network said he was like – he reminds him of Aguilar. I'm like, yes, if Aguilar had hands and, you know, didn't, you know, fake a knee injury after dropping a game-winning touchdown. I love this kid. He's explosive. He's elusive. He can catch the ball. He can make moves after the catch. He can still get downfield. His route running's a little shaky, but his explosiveness is there. Speaking of explosiveness, now we have the fastest receiver in the draft, number three. Henry Ruggs, I think if he goes to the right system, he's not the primary guy right off the bat. I think he's going to excel. He can't be your number one guy, at least for the first 2 years. Almost like how Jackson was the number two guy in Philadelphia when he was drafted. Or what should have happened if John Ross didn't sit on the bench, basically wasn't injured for his whole first year in Cincinnati. Same kind of thing. Like, you need to, if you're going to draft Henry Ruggs, you got to make sure there's a guy you're going to get the ball to more than him for at least the first 6, 7, 8 games of the season, so he can get equipped to NFL cornerbacks, NFL safeties, passing offenses, everything else. Number two is CeeDee Lamb. I said he's Dez Bryant 2.0, a little less physical, a little shiftier. Big, catch the ball well, runs clean routes, so shifty after he gets the ball in his hands. The top-end speed is what bugs me. That's the only thing that's not making him better than Judy, is his top-end speed bugs the hell out of me. He's fast, but not – if I was going to give him, like, a Madden speed rating, he'd be a 90. He'd still be fast, but it's just, like, he's not going to, like, make me fear him blowing past my cornerback over the top. A lot of his stuff is going to be after the catch, quick screens, like, underneath cutting routes, things like that. Number one, I've been high on this guy since October, Jerry Jeudy. I think he is OBJ without the BS. Runs the clean routes, doesn't really get hurt. Kev, his injury history is pretty empty. Am I right?
He didn't really get hurt that much in college.
I watched his training tapes. I watched his game film. I watched his like non-highlight game film. You know, where he's not actually catching the ball. Even on passing plays where it's going to Ruggs or Waddle or Smith is the other one, right?
Yep.
Yeah, to the other three guys, he's still smoking his cornerback off the box. He doesn't just do it with the speed, it's with his cuts, his ability to separate with his route running. He's the opposite of Justin Jefferson to me, where Justin Jefferson, every catch he's making was contested. Judy is open by a throw of the three of us get hit sometimes. And they're not even deep balls. They're underneath routes, out routes, in routes, whips. He does it all, and that's why he is the best receiver in this draft to me by a mile. And which is saying a lot, because CeeDee Lamb, I love too. He's one of my favorite picks in this draft too. Whoever gets Lamb is going to be have a great receiver. But we're talking about the running backs being loaded. I think the receivers are loaded this year too.
Yeah, this it's insane. And great names. Like, they are, like, superstar names. I don't know why. CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, I mean, you didn't talk about KJ Hamler. Do you not like T. Higgins? I love T. Higgins. T. Higgins is my sleeper. He's a freak.
But here's the problem. Why didn't he run his 40?
Huh?
What was his 40?
Like, I know. 40 is the most overrated thing in the world. Yes and no. Kevin White ran a 4.33, and then
I know
all of a sudden
I
moves up.
He ran 4.33,
and then he's
also
one of the biggest busts.
But also, DK Metcalf ran a 4.37 or 4.38. And then, oh, yeah, was the second best rookie receiver in the class last year behind his boy, yeah, A.J. Brown.
Because he freaking has Russell Wilson. He dropped so many passes. He can't go right or left. Like, I think DK Metcalf had a good year, but I don't think he's going to, like,
I think he's going to be a superstar. I do. Kevin knows my love for DK Metcalf.
Like, the game when they beat us before the playoffs, or not before the playoffs, yeah, they freaking, like, he had 3 touchdowns that he just dropped because his hands are not there. He's a freak of an athlete, but he can't really, like, run routes. So he catches the ball, he doesn't know how to go right or left. I mean,
He's raw. Okay, so I'll give you that Higgins is raw, but I don't know. I also think that there's a reason why I have Higgins dropping and not succeeding. I'll get to it later, but
My thing on those receivers is, yes, it's a very deep class. I think most of them are going to be good, productive players. I don't think Ruggs will be a productive player, especially early in his career. I had him as a bust last episode because, yes, he's going to be one of the fastest guys on the field. He can't get off the line quickly. You saw that in his 40. Not necessarily the time. The time was disappointing, but still good. But his first couple steps were so slow. And also, it's easy to be a speed guy when they're also worried about your 3 other speed guys, so they can't just put a safety help over the top for you. In the NFL, if he's not on a team where he is the 3rd option, I think they're going to just put a cornerback on him and then safety help over the top, and you're pretty much going to negate Ruggs' speed.
Yeah, I think he's going to go somewhere, and he's going to be one of the first ones taken. And I think he's good, don't get me wrong. He's definitely a really good receiver. It's just the combine, man. You put these numbers out there, and then everyone gets all excited. And it's like, he's not a number one. I mean, I have him going to Denver because they have Courtland Sutton, so he'd be a nice little 2. That's a little 1-2 punch there. He kind of replaces what they lost in Sanders after they traded him and they got signed. But I don't know. I feel like he gets the burden of the combine bias. Because, like, a guy like KJ Hamler is a quick little dude, too, that – you could even rather
have he's a guy. He's gonna be like a Lockett, where everyone's gonna say, "Oh, he's a gadget guy," and then he's a number two receiver. So, like, a lot of these guys are gonna be number two guys. I think Lamb and Jeudy are going to be
a freak.
CeeDee Lamb is insane. Like, and I didn't realize how good he was until I watched the Oklahoma Texas game last year, Mark.
Yeah,
that game was what I was like. I'm like, okay, this kid's gonna be nasty. I'm sold.
Well, he jumps out of the freaking stadium, and then obviously Jerry Jeudy. I don't know what is Alabama. They just produce route running freaks.
Well, his tape is like the comparison I've seen is like this weird hybrid of OBJ and Amari Cooper. That's not a bad comparison hybrid.
Dude, even it's just so weird how they. All like it was Amari Cooper, Riley Ridley, now Jeudy. Like they all are the same.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Riley's his brother went to Georgia.
That's right, Calvin. But
and Julio Jones.
Well, I'm saying, but like that was he's not the same.
Julio's an all-time receiver.
Yeah, I'm saying Julio is like the massive dude, but he wasn't like these guys are like the same size, fast, shifty, and they can run routes clean.
They can snap an ACL, Ronald Darby.
And it's going to happen next year, too, when Waddle and Smith come out.
Who do you like better, Waddle or Smith?
I think Waddle's a bit faster, but I like Smith more as a receiver.
So Waddle's more Jeudy, where Smith is more Ruggs? Or is it vice versa? I got to mix it up for a second.
Vice versa. I think Waddle will be great if you also want to use him as a punt and kick returner. I saw a play. I forget who they were playing, but he caught the punt, got his face mask ripped back, and looked like he snapped his neck. They didn't call it, and then he just returned it for a touchdown anyway.
Sounds like Miles Sanders.
Yeah. All right, tight ends. It's Bryant, Kepco, Hopkins, Moss. You know what you're getting. The tight end. Tight ends are hat in a hat, though. You really there's not really anyone that like pop off the screen. Offensive lineman. Kev, you had an interesting point about this about Wirfs, but I got Ruiz at five. He's only getting interior offensive line. Probably going in the first round. Thomas, Becton, Wirfs, and Willis. Willis, I think, is still the best tackle in the league in this draft. But what do you got, Kevin, Mark?
Becton's another guy. I feel bad for him because he's going to get drafted so high and have all these expectations because the dude ran an insane 40, and he's a massive human being. But I feel like he's really raw. He's got all the potential, but he's 6'7". I had him going to the Cardinals just because they're going to want to have an athletic big guy, and he can do that. And then Wills and Wirfs, I mean, they're just your typical studs at offensive line. Becton, he's the one that I'm just really curious about, see if he's going to live up to his potential with how big and fast he is.
Kev?
I think Thomas is the most interesting pick here. I have him going first for the offensive lineman. He's a really good run blocker. You saw it at Georgia because they loved running the ball, and he still made Jake Fromm look good. He protected him enough where he could make the throws he needed to help the team win games. I think worse, it's a little concerning because he's a good run blocker too. Iowa, not necessarily – Georgia's not known for it either, but Georgia threw the ball a bit more, I feel, than Iowa. So you don't really know about Wirfs pass blocking.
Yeah, Iowa produces, though. Those guys come out of there, and they are steady linemen that usually succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not saying Wirfs is going to be bad, but I think he has more question marks on him.
Yeah, we don't even know what position he's going to play too, Kev. You said something about that before, right?
Yeah, I was saying that I'm not sure if he's going to be a tackle if they'll have to move him inside.
We're going across the line right now. We got D tackles. There's only really three D tackles I actually like. Brown, Kinlaw, and Gilmore. I think Brown's the stud here. But what do you think, guys, thinking about the other two, Kinlaw and Gilmore?
Kinlaw? Have you seen Javon Kinlaw? He would just murder me with like his fist, like his hand. He would just smush me. Him and Derek Brown are insane size. I mean, I like Raekwon Davis. I heard he doesn't have that, they said he was supposed to be so much better than he was, but he's a 6'7 dude out of Alabama. I mean, I think he'll fill up inside of the defensive line very well. But yeah, I'm all in Kinlaw. I think that dude's going to be a beast.
I think it's weird how South Carolina, considering that team doesn't do much, still produces pretty good linemen on the defensive side of the ball. Kinlaw, Clowney. Clowney took a couple years to get used to the league, but he's fine now, even though he's still a free agent. But that's because he's asking for a ridiculous amount of money. Derek Brown, I know you asked about the other two, but I hate Derek Brown. He's not a fun man. Your point about Raekwon Davis... I think he's good. I think he's going to be a decent D-tackle, D-lineman. I think he's – I don't know if he'll ever make a Pro Bowl, but he's going to be one of those guys who, if you get him on a good defense, when people talk about how good that defense is, they'll go like, oh, they have a bunch of good players. And then they'll name the stars and go, and Raekwon Davis.
He's going to go to the Redskins. They're going to just add it onto the line. They already have Jonathan Allen and the other Davis, right? Who's the other one that went like last year?
Yeah,
forget off the top of my head.
It's almost I almost swear his name's Raekwon Davis too, but he's just like, how can you be on the interior at 6'7"? It's crazy.
True. Good luck throwing over that.
If Raekwon Davis can avoid getting shot, I think he'll be fine.
He's gonna be a kick blocker. Just put that big ass hand up when those kicks are going up because he's huge.
True.
All right, so we got edge rushers. Do we really need to consider who number one is? Like,
It's
Zach Bond.
It's the who I actually called him an Asgardian when I was watching his tape. I'm like, this guy is like from Thor species. He's ridiculous. I mean, his numbers are overblown because there's a certain Miami freshman who only had one less sack and half the touches, but I'm not going to go into that right now.
It all goes back to Miami. I'm telling you.
Greg Rousseau. I'm telling you, no. Number one pick top five pick in 2 years, Greg Rousseau, defensive end Miami. Kid's disgusting. All
right, write it down because I guarantee it.
Write it down. I will buy you both a $100 bottle of booze on this.
He will not. Nobody from Miami will be drafted in the top five the next 2 years.
Top 10, maybe. No, you already committed to top five.
Chase Young is the guy that you're trying to.
Yeah, I'm talking about Chase Young, of course. This kid is not human. The way I saw him demolish two Penn State offensive linemen like they were like tackling dummies. He is insane. And the worst part is Chassin, Bond, the guy, and Espinoza, they're all good. They're all good. They're all good DNs. They're all great players. But the problem is, it's like, oh, we have all these great like B-plus guys. And then you just have like this like freak of nature DN who honestly, unfortunately, he's going – they're talking about him going to the Redskins. I don't know how it'll work, but –
I'd rather have him go to like Detroit.
Yeah, me too. That Redskins front seven is going to be terrifying.
It's crazy how many guys they have that are good. And I don't understand how they keep bringing them in or why they keep getting them. I mean, it's like you need to have a good like front seven on those sides of the ball. But
I have the Redskins doing something completely stupid day one. They're going to they're going to draft like Jerry Jeudy first overall, second overall.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're going to just go Chase Young. That'd be like the best pick they've made and who knows when. And then you got Yurtter Gross-Matos out of Penn State. He's one of those. I think I already have him going to Seattle. I feel like it's just a match made in heaven. He's like a great guy going to Seattle. And then the AJ Epenesa, whatever his name is, he was freaking right up there with Chase Young at the beginning of the season. And then
his draft stock dropped like crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to fall. He'll probably he might sneak into the end of the first.
I still love Kinlaw Chassin too out of LSU. I mean, he was the best pass rusher. He was the premier pass rusher on that roster.
LSU does that though. They just have these like kind of quick guys off the edge that like
Remember Barkevious Mingo?
Yeah, and they never pan out in the NFL. So I don't know if he's in the same way.
Well, we're gonna see. It's gonna be weird because they've figured out that those hybrid DN like safety looking dudes who literally wear a $150 are like not working. So we're gonna see how he adjusts. Kev,
I gave my comments on something.
I'm losing my mind. All right, so linebacker. We all know who the number one linebacker is. It's Isaiah Simmons. The guy literally – talk about blowing up the combine. The guy won the combine, basically. His tape is just as good as his combine numbers. So we also have Queen and Murray. I actually watched Murray live 3 times out of Oklahoma. I like his tape. He's the only good defensive player of that entire team. And he definitely was the only reason Oklahoma shut some teams down, like stops them, made some stops. He's all over the field. He ran well. Harrison and Brooks I like as well. Those are my 4 and 5 guys. I mean, Harrison's out of Penn State, and, you know, Ohio State. And Brooks is out of Penn State.
Texas Tech.
What the hell am I looking at? I thought I saw he was at...
No, I have it up right now.
Yeah, all right.
Murray scares me. He's one of those... He also... there's so many freak of athletes in this draft, and he's like... He's crazy good, but when I watched him, I feel like he's not smart. He just uses athletic ability and tries to, like, play the game, but he just comes off the edge and will just give up on a play. And then I haven't watched enough of Patrick Queen, but he's going to – I haven't gone to the Saints where I feel like they'll mold him into the linebacker that they don't – they never – I feel like they need a linebacker on that team, and they never
used to. Yeah, they haven't had a good one in years. The thing about scares me about Murray is that – he needs to be like the number two middle linebacker, like in a 3-4 system. He cannot be the primary signal caller. He needs to be a 3-4 linebacker, 3-4 middle linebacker. You don't have to be the primary guy right off the bat. Whereas like if he's the central guy, it's going to be an issue if he's got to call the plays and he just reads a play wrong.
I think he's eventually just going to come off the edge and be like a Clay Matthews. That's my thing. He's not going to be inside because he's just – He's not. I'm telling you, I don't think he's smart enough. Like, I don't think he has.
You think his football IQ is what's going to kill his draft?
Yeah, I think he's more of just like get the quarterback.
Fair enough.
I mean, you guys pretty much said it all. I have only three of those guys going in the first round. I have Denver taking one of them to build up that defense back up to what it was back in 2015. And then I also had the Patriots taking one of them, which either Queen or Murray, whoever goes first, whoever goes after, just to kind of replace Van Noy, because that offense is going to be atrocious, so they need to make sure they have a good defense.
So weird to say. You knew it was I mean, I know that you guys have talked about Tom Brady, but you knew it was happening, too, when everyone started leaving.
Mm-hmm.
When Van Noy left, and then I forget the other guys that I saw that were – I was like, man, this is actually going to happen. Like, why else would they leave? But anyways, true. Yeah. I can see Murray – freaking Murray will go to the Patriots. And I'm like, he's not the guy. And then Belichick will turn him into this defensive stud, trade him, and then he'll come back and be even better than he was before.
Yeah, he's going to be a stud in the Pats. He's going to get traded to, like, Cleveland or something.
Because he wants, like, more money and a bigger role. And then he's going to be like, wow, this sucks. And he's going to go back to the Pats with Trevor Lawrence as the quarterback.
Yep. That's how it's going to go. That's the plan.
Trevor Lawrence is the next Pats.
I said that 2 months ago, and Kevin yelled at me saying it wasn't going to happen.
Well, 2 months ago, Tom Brady wasn't a Patriot or was still a Patriot.
I knew. I said he was leaving 6 months ago, but you all thought I was crazy.
I was just in denial.
I'm still in denial. I still don't believe. I mean, this. I don't know what makes less sense, the coronavirus or Tom Brady going to the Patriots.
You know, after he's trying to file for trademarks for Tampa Bay, like, yeah, I'm glad he's gone, honestly. I don't want my quarterback thinking Tampa is a good thing.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm so curious with the Patriots team. I might become a Patriots fan now. I feel like now is the time to be a Patriots fan because they're going to stink.
Get off my show.
What's the point? They're going to stink, so then I can be like, when they become good again, I can be like, wow, I've been with them through the tough times.
No, it's because of the team you actually root for, you jackass.
The Eagles? What? We have nothing against them other than we beat them in the Super Bowl, and they beat us in the Super Bowl.
I mean, I don't hate them. It's just maybe it's because I'm related to, like, seven Patriots fans, so, like, watching them lose is, like, sweet victory to me.
Well, also, one of those relatives is an idiot.
Two?
Shots fired.
Well, I only know one of them.
You know two of them.
All right, well, I only really talk to one of them.
True, okay. We're not taking shots here, Kevin. All right, so we're going to go to cornerbacks next. So I have one of my busts actually in the top cornerbacks. I think he's going to go in the top. He's going to go in the top 60 picks. But I got Okuda at one, however you pronounce his name.
Okuda.
He's the best cornerback in the draft. We all freaking know it. He's going to go in the top 5, top 10 max if somebody doesn't if Detroit doesn't take him at 3 or Jacksonville at 7 or 9, wherever their pick is. I love his tape. I don't like everyone's always footwork sloppy. I'm like, you can fix sloppy.
His footwork was insane at the combine.
Oh, I know. He literally did that just to like screw with the guys who said his footwork is sloppy. He also had no holding calls and penalties. Our former coach, Savannah, brought up multiple times on Twitter, but she is right. The guy was, his cornerbacks go, he was elite. I love Henderson as my second cornerback over Fulton. I watched Henderson live 3 times, and he pops as a corner. He stays on your hip. He's explosively fast, and I think in a bump-and-run man system, he'll fit in perfectly. Then I have Fulton. Not a lot of tape in this guy. Personally, he was LSU, but I think also that LSU team, they were up so much that I don't know. They were in like two or three shootouts against good teams, but basically they're up a lot. So a lot of the LSU defensive backs I'm a little skeptical on. Then I have Diggs.
Shut teams down.
I have Diggs as my fourth over Gladney. And I'll say I love Diggs' tape as well. Kev, what was your opinion on Diggs? You watched him a lot more than I did.
I don't love Diggs. I think people are saying like, oh, he's a great player in Alabama, or he was a good player in Alabama's defense. That was one of the worst defenses from Alabama we've seen since Nick Saban's been there.
Oh my God, they give up 10 points instead of 4 a game. I'm sorry.
Not even that. They couldn't really stop Auburn. They couldn't stop LSU to save their lives. I don't think they would have been able to stop a lot of the other teams in the SEC. Like, I feel like they got in more shootouts than they need to be, or more high scoring games. I think Diggs is a good physical cornerback. He just kind of disappears for some plays. It's not necessarily he's giving up big plays, but he's giving up a good amount of catches, it feels.
True. I have Gladney last, and it's for the reason I will never trust cornerbacks out of the Big 12 until they fix the culture of that conference. I don't care who they played for in that conference. The only school I will take a cornerback out of is Texas. That's it. Everywhere else, they get smoked. The film, it's a shootout.
Texas's defense is garbage, though. TCU at least has Kerry Patterson.
I'm talking like old school Texas. Like, I'm like now, like, if they ever go back to playing defense again. But, like, the thing is, like, even now, like, I don't look at, like, I look at a Big 12 cornerback and I'm like.
Oh, I understand completely. But TCU would be the only school because Gary Patterson's a defensive guy.
Yeah. Turns out where it was at 4-2. He ran like a nickel before it was cool, basically.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I would rather have Diggs over Gladney. I think covering at receiver, SEC receivers is a little more challenging. But I think so. I see your point about Gladney, though.
So, Mark, you're saying Texas's defense is awful now. You've heard Jared talk about Miami. In college football, in his mind, college football lives in the 90s, in early to mid 2000s. Anything after that doesn't happen. Miami players are all still great. Texas still has a good defense. It's like you don't even know Jared.
Texas is like, yeah, and then USC is still the freaking best school in the world, too, when it comes to football.
I mean, if they can't find a replacement for Clay Hilton, which is just hysterical to me.
It's crazy. Like, nobody likes the Pac-12.
It's between Oregon, Utah, and one of the air and some surprise team every year
Utah just popped in there. Like, they probably won't even be in it next year.
Well, they also have like seven guys on their defense going to the draft this year.
Yeah. But obviously, Okuda is going to be the first one. I think this corner class is going to be like one of those random teams that like falls in love with one of these guys and is going to draft them earlier than anyone expected. You got A.J. Terrell out of Clemson. Anybody coming out of Clemson right now these past couple of years, I feel like I have to trust because that team's been so good the past couple of years. And then Damon Arnett. Ohio State really, really produces good corners. Even if Eli Apple sucks, they still end up being productive in the NFL. I think I'll watch out for him too. But that's all. And other than that, yeah, C.J. Henderson, Christian Fulton, Gladney. It's going to be Okuda and like the rest. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. All right.
My phone's also very close to dying. Just a heads up.
All right. So we'll try to speedball through safeties. Safeties, I have McKinney going first. Kev kind of sold me what he told me before about how he the 40 times a little deceptive, and the guy just plays better on film. He's got game speed over 40 speed. Delpit worries me, once again, LSU. But then again, you guys made a good counterpoint about they were blowing teams out and they were shutting them down too.
He's big. I didn't realize he was 6'3".
Yeah, he's a big dude. That's one of his pluses to me. I love Winfield Jr., not just because his pops was an NFL guy, but also, like, Minnesota was a good team this year, and he was one of the reasons that defense was so good.
He's so young, too. He's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, if you're the best player on the team. Also, speaking of Utah, Burgess. He was one of the leaders of that defense, and I think he's going to make – he's going to be one of those, like, kind of sleeper teams, like, goes in the third or fourth round, and a team gets him, and he's going to blow up. I also have Chin going five. He's going to go top two rounds. You can't really go wrong with him either. So what do you guys think quick? Is Mark's phone's about to die?
I think Delpit, he's another one of those guys that was freaking loved before the season. Kind of fell off because he had an ankle injury, I believe, or something. He was injured for a small period of time. I just feel like he's going to the Cowboys. He just screams Cowboys. He has a personality. He kind of brings that weird Cowboys edge that I hate. And then I think Winfield's going to be the best safety out of this class, though.
Yeah. Kev?
I think McKinney is the top-rated safety for you and for a lot of people for a reason. I think he's going to be the best safety going forward. I think he can – it's felt like he wasn't there on some game tape, but that's because they weren't really throwing to him. And I will never forget the play when a guy's diving into the end zone over the top and he just slapped the ball out of the guy's hand, scooped it up in the end zone, and returned it for a touchdown. I will love him forever for that.
All righty. We're going to sleepers and busts now, boys. So Kev, what do you got for sleepers for me? I know you had a couple rock and roll ready to go.
Not necessarily a sleeper because he's still a first round pick, but Jonathan Taylor. People are concerned about the mileage on his legs. I'm not. Derrick Henry ran the ball a lot in college, just led the league in rushing yards this year. Dude's a great running back. Beat the Patriots, beat the Ravens on his back. And I think Jonathan Taylor can be the same kind of guy, and he has no injuries to speak of. And then Austin Jackson, lineman out of USC. His pass blocking concerning, but we've talked about you can teach that. And if he goes to the right system, like I am going to the Titans, he would be a great pick for the Titans. Replace Conklin, really good run blocking lineman, and that would go perfectly with Derrick Henry. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I have as a sleeper. I think if he goes to the right system, he will dominate. Not dominate, but I think he will be a solid NFL running back for a couple of years, maybe a couple Pro Bowls.
True. All right. For sleepers, I, of course, talked about Denzel Mims already. I've already ragged on about him. My number two guy is Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame. Now, we all – I don't know if you guys saw Chris Sims like, oh, he's the same size and speed as Calvin Johnson. It's not – that's not what gets me amped. It's the fact that he was basically Notre Dame's only downfield weapon last year, so he was basically having a safety in a corner over the top of him all the time. Ian Book, yes, is a solidly talented quarterback, as much as it pains me to say that about somebody from Notre Dame. But Claypool, almost 6'5", 4'4", 40 time, big hands, physical. He's raw. That's the reason he's going to go in the second or third round, but he's going to be that, like, steel receiver that everyone's going to get later when everyone's going to be reaching to try to get Justin Jefferson or, you know, or KJ Hamler or Denzel Mims or T. Higgins. This guy will be available in the third or fourth round. He's going to blow up. I think he's going to have he's going to be a solid number one, possibly a number two, number one going down the road with a little development. I love this kid. He needs to work on his route running a little bit, but in the red zone, he's a stud. So, and that's how you win touchdowns. So,
is that how the game works? Do you score touchdowns?
Shut up, Mark. Go let your phone die. Well, at least my last
one. They also have to kick field goals to win games. They struggle with that.
Yeah.
My last one, this is not biased at all because this guy could transfer to us, to my team. All right. But I didn't even want this guy playing. I wanted, you know, Joe Jackson, who came out and has been a bust.
Wait, is this a Miami player we're about to talk about?
Jonathan Garvin. I don't think he's going to be teams like to use a rotation pass rush, especially in a 4-3 system. He's 6'4", 250, explosively quick off the edge. He underperformed this year because every team in the ACC basically tried to just double-team the hell out of him because he had, I think it was like 10.5 sacks the year before, and that also led to Greg Rousseau, his emergence as well. I think he's going to be a very good number, like kind of a rotation pass rusher like what Philadelphia uses with their four guys rotating. I think in a couple of years he'll be left end, right end, whatever, the number two guys opposite like a Danielle Hunter. Like, he won't never be a stud, but he'll always be a good, like, okay, we can't just double-team one side. He's come off the edge. He'll be good, like, a number two pass rusher to me. I think he's going to be a solid guy steal later in the draft because I saw his numbers weren't bad, and he, on tape, he makes the hustle plays, too. He kind of reminds me of a bigger, less injury-prone Derek Barnett. Mark.
My sleeper is the entire wide receiver class. The top five guys are great, but they might not even be the best. I mean, I've been talking about T. Higgins and KJ Hamler. The Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Michigan, I feel like, never played to his full potential because Shea Patterson's garbage. Yes. You said Claypool. There's two wide receivers out of Texas, Colin Johnson and Devin.
Moose.
Yeah, who's a moose. Then you got the other Johnson, Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota, had a great year with them. I mean, you can just literally look at this class. You got Kendrick Rogers out of Texas A&M. If you guys remember the 7 overtime games, he caught like 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, this class is just – I don't think anyone should be reaching for a receiver in this draft just because there's so many that could actually work out. I just think this is one of the most insane wide receiver classes, even running backs. I mean, I think I'm all on board with Kev with Helaire, especially with how they're using running backs these days. He's just a little Maurice Jones-Drew with his big legs. But I can't think of a bust right now. I mean, I think Justin Herbert's even a sleeper because even though you have him at number one on your list, people aren't really sold on him, and he's just a freak of, not freak, I guess you could say, but he's like, he fits the mold. And then Jacob Eason's obviously my sleeper.
What moved him up my list was watching the Senior Bowl with my old man. My dad's like, oh, I like this number 10 guy. He's great. He's making all the pros. He's moving around. I'm like, yeah, he's better than Kirk Cousins. My dad's a Viking, so I'm like, yeah, he's better than Kirk Cousins, isn't he? And he shot me a nasty look. But I only got one bust because Mark basically talked me out of T. Higgins before. I'm on the fence about him still. I don't know what he's going to be. He could be a Mike Williams type, or he could just not be good. I don't know. But there's one guy I am praying to God my team does not take at 21. I've seen it on every draft board. His tape scares me. He's not even the best receiver on the national championship team. It's Justin Jefferson. Okay, three reasons why I hate Jefferson. One, on his tape, every ball he catches is contested. And they're not even like...
That's good, though.
No, it's not good, Mark.
If you can catch... What could the Eagles not do last year?
Catch balls.
With contested. They're never open. Nobody's ever open on
He's not open on half these routes. It's Bird is chucking it at him. And the thing is,
he's played in the SEC with like a bunch of stud corners. I think I don't think he's I'm not saying I would the Eagles take him, but we need guys that can go up and get the ball, and that's what he did.
I also think his 40 time is kind of deceptive because on tape he's not separating.
40 times the most overrated thing.
No, I say he trained for his 40 time because I think his game speed, his 40 speed are different.
Well, yeah, because people want to get paid.
About McKinney, who's faster on the field than he is on the turf on the underwear Olympics. I think Justin Jefferson's the reverse. Where Justin Jefferson trained all for like a month straight to run a faster 40 time. I think Ja'Marr Chase is the better receiver on that team, and he's not coming out until next year. So I also think Jefferson benefited from from having also Thaddeus Moss and Ja'Marr Chase on the field. So it was a lot of single coverage as well. I'm just not sold on him. He should be a third or fourth round pick. Or second or third round pick, not a like mid-20s guy. That's what I think he's less of a bust.
I do agree. He does have that bust potential because he was on a national championship team that nobody even really talked about toward the end of the season. And then he did end up going off. So
his combine basically is the only reason he's back in the first round.
I think he was in there before just because, like I said, Joe Burrow could throw a ball anywhere and it was going to be caught because that's just the –
It was also the magical season of LSU.
It was. I mean, he just – in the championship or the Oklahoma game, the very like first pass he just launched, it's like – it wasn't even a good pass, but somehow they came down with it. Like, it was magical. I think – I don't know. I think Justin Jefferson needs to be on a good team. So
that's what I'm saying. I think, like, I would rather – if I'm an Eagles fan – there's like five receivers I'd have over him. Maybe six. I don't like – Jefferson is like – I would rather have Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, Rieger, and Mims. And then I'd put Jefferson, and then like Claypool and Hamler right on his tail. But that's only for our team's needs. We need speed as much as we need hands. Like, I think Arcega-Whiteside is going to have a great year this year, but he's a big physical receiver. Who's like was known for being a resident.
He's like a tight end.
All right, so
super professional over here.
Yeah, right. So, folks, this is our draft special. We appreciate you as we hit the hour.
Yeah, we just talk about my busts.
Oh yeah, Kev, you got a couple busts.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into the Eagles talk. I already talked about Ruggs. I think a speed only guy, which is a concern, he might be because you could hide a lot of imperfections with those Alabama receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I like Diggs, but I think he's going to be taken too high, and I think some teams might have some teams and fans will have the wrong perception of him.
Yeah.
He could be good, but he needs to fix a lot.
He needs a year to develop as like a number two corner. Like, he needs to do what Sidney Jones did, where basically he doesn't play his first 2 years because he's sloppy. Like, when we needed Jones the last three games of the season, because we had no cornerbacks left except for Maddox and LeBlanc, he comes in the last two or three games of the season, makes the two biggest plays. Picks off Daniel Jones when they're driving, and then swats down a ball thrown to Michael Gallup that would have been a touchdown to win the game for Dallas. So that I see what you're saying. Diggs needs to go the Sidney Jones route, basically, where he doesn't play for his first 2 years. Or a year and a half, whatever it is. He needs his time to like sit behind a cornerback and like develop his game.
Yeah, back to what I was saying about his downsides.
Mm-hmm.
he can't really read a deep ball well, so he's left chasing a lot and kind of grabbing on to guys. You can't do that in the NFL, mm-hmm. and that will lead him to him getting picked on. It's either going to be pass interference or he's going to give up a big play. I have another guy that could be a bust or a sleeper depending on when he's picked. And I know you said you don't like putting quarterbacks at bust. I debated putting Justin Herbert in this list just to mess with you. But Jalen Hurts, I think if a team expects him to come in day one who needs a quarterback or someone gets hurt early, he's not going to look good. Mm-hmm. I think his inability to read a defense will be shown very early on in the NFL. He can make most throws he couldn't make before, but there's still a couple where he has accuracy issues. But if he falls to the third round, he's a sleeper and a guy who in 2 years could be a starter.
Okay.
He has all the tools. He just needs to improve his quick decision making.
Folks, every one of Kevin's busts had Alabama ties.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of you. I try not to be biased as much as
okay,
possible.
Okay, listen, did you see overboard? Me throwing like four Miami? I threw one guy in, and he wasn't even like a guy I liked on the roster, but I love his tape. That's the only reason I put him in there, is a possible like a Derek Barnett type, like a good pass rusher, a good number two to a good like a solid, like that's what I said to him about him. I didn't say he was going to be a superstar. Like, you don't see me talking about Jeff Thomas or what's his name, KJ Osborne, or I mentioned DJ Dallas only because Mark brought up receiving backs. That's the only reason I brought him up.
I also like, I've watched these guys the most.
Yeah. I had to find ways to get Miami games this year because of I couldn't get the ACC network live to spite me.
Yeah, I have the SEC network. I was in Alabama for the past 4 years. So I watch these guys. I watched a lot of Jalen Hurts because I loved him. And I think he's a great locker room guy to have. He's the kind of guy, if you still draft him high to sit behind someone, he's not going to bitch and moan about playing.
Yeah.
He was benched for Tua and was Tua's biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. Mostly, you're right. All right. So that about wraps it up, folks, for our draft special. 2 out of 3 of the trilogy will conclude the day before the NFL draft. Or, actually, no. Or, Kev, do you want... Maybe we'll do a four-part series. We'll do a saga. I don't know. The NFL draft, of course, is like my second holiday to me, this and NFL free agency. We'll, of course, do a reaction afterward. Me and Kev are each going to do one more mock draft before the draft actually commences. So that's April 26th or 7th, I believe. So that the day before, me and Kev will each do a mock draft and we'll read it off to each other at our picks. And then we'll kind of just react to each other's picks and go on from there. I want to thank Mark for coming on today, making his triumphant return for our 100th episode. And we want to thank you guys, of course, for sticking with us for 100 long, grueling, irritating episodes. We love you guys so much. Thank you, Corner Booth Nation. And of course, once again, this is part of the Belly Up Podcast Network. We will catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Corner Booth Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and on Twitter @CornerBoothPod.